Mornings at 4:30, right before McIntyre in the morning.
On Talk Radio 790,
KABC.
All right, welcome to the program. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, and... All right, I want to get right to the news of the day. So Michael Flynn is out, and I've yet to hear a very good analysis of this, and I will give you mine here today. But I also want to tell you why it's important. So let me tell you exactly what happened. So Michael Flynn, he's a lieutenant general. And he has some previous experience with security matters. He worked in the DIA, which is the Department of Defense version of the CIA. So he has he was actually its head under the Obama administration, ran into some problems there, butted up against some heads. There's two stories there, whether he was fired or that he quit. But at any rate, he ends up leaving. And supposedly, as the story goes, he leaves because of a disagreement of how to treat radical Islam. So he's a big proponent of fighting ISIS and of fighting Al-Qaeda, and felt publicly said this, that the Obama administration was not doing enough to counter that threat. So he leaves. And I think this is very critical. I'll explain it later on. He is one of the early and very credible people on the right who end up supporting Donald Trump and his candidacy. Back when Trump was a 5% candidate, he had Flynn come on board and did some rallies with him and really gave him a lot of foreign policy credibility, which Trump, of course, needed early on in the race. So the two have known each other very long. And Trump, I think, viewed, I would imagine, I certainly would, felt a certain debt of gratitude to Flynn for his early endorsement. All right. So once Trump wins the presidency, what happens? Flynn at some point is designated as the as a member of the as becomes the national security advisor. And so if you remember the election happens, and what became the big news story that everyone was talking about? Uh-huh, that's right. Stealing the election. The Russians did it. Or my favorite headline was Russia hacks U.S. election, which is completely not true. But at any rate, so, but I tell you, at this moment in time, and it is absolutely critical that you understand this, at this moment in time, Obama realizes that he has only a certain number of weeks, a very limited amount of time before he is out of office, right? So the November election happens, and he knows he has roughly a month and change to when he still has the power of the presidency. And as the executive, who reports to him? Well, the DOJ, right? The Department of Justice. What about the spy agencies? Yep, those report to him too. And so the Obama administration set out, mark my words, nobody's writing about this or talking about it really, but they set out 100%. The first thing that came, I guarantee you, within a days after the election, Obama put out a hit on Trump. Okay, what I mean there is he went to his people and say, find me a connection. We have got to discredit Trump. This is a political problem. And we need to find a nexus and prove that Russia and Trump colluded to derail Hillary Clinton. Now, follow me on this here. Every statement that followed the election was something to this effect. I mean, and Obama was using surrogates because he had to be presidential, and he had to, you know, to roll out the red carpet to Trump and to welcome him to the White House. But remember the sanctions? Remember the Russia sanctions? I mean, the evidence presented was so flimsy and so tenuous I mean, we've gone over it. So, but it was, but the FBI opened an investigation. And because the FBI had to get wiretaps on these various Russian people that were in the country, including the Russia's ambassador to the U.S., they had to enlist the help of the NSA. Because the NSA is the one that handles these wiretaps. And so the NSA taps the phone of the Russian ambassador. His name is Sergei Kislyak. Taps his phone, and sometime in December, General Michael Flynn, who is working in the Trump transition and may or may not have at this point already known that he's going to be the national security advisor, basically calls the ambassador, or maybe the call happened the other way. Ambassador called him. But at any rate, the two of them talk by phone. Now, Flynn knows, because he worked in Army intelligence, he knows that every call with a Russian ambassador in the U.S. is bugged. He knows that if he's having a phone call with the guy, it's being listened to. It's an important point. I mean, it is. Because he basically, and I've scoured all the sources and everything, I've looked at it all. He basically has a fairly innocuous phone call with the Russian. He says, look, you know, the worst part of the phone call, at least as far as the New York Times is concerned, which I know they are no lovers of Trump, so I'm going to trust them, take them at their word. I mean, the worst that he said was, you know, hey, don't come. This was after the sanctions got handed down by Obama. He says, don't retaliate too harshly because it will make things in the future more difficult for us. And that's it. There was no quid pro quo. Don't do this. If you don't do this, then I will do X. There was no foreign policy, you know, being transacted or suggested. And most importantly, there was also no classified information being given, or no top secret information being given to the Russians. All right. So what of this? At some point, news of this leaks, and that's a whole separate part of the conversation. I'll get to that in a minute. But news of this leaks. So Flynn now has a decision to make. And he makes the wrong decision because he decides to lie about it. He talks to Pence, Vice President Pence, and he says, I didn't have a phone call. And then later says, no, it wasn't a substantive phone call. And on this basis, the Vice President of the United States goes in front of the media and repeats the lie. It's not good. And meanwhile, these sources deep within the Department of State or the CIA or wherever these clowns are hiding keep dribbling out more and more information. Now, I repeat, this is so important about this, is it in all the dribbling and all the information that's been released, there's no criminal smoking gun. There's nothing wrong with what Flynn did. In fact, if you are an American and want minimal disruption to your life, all he did was, after Obama did his thing, right, and landed some sanctions on Moscow, if anything, it can be argued that Flynn just prevented Moscow from retaliating, which isn't a bad thing for us when you think about it. But instead, all he should have done at this point, you know, that's that old adage, the cover-up is worse than the crime. It's true. Ask Nixon, right? I think got coined around that time. By lying to Pence, okay, he enlisted other people in the lie. And so now what happens is eventually, and we don't know exactly when, but I suspect it was sometime last week because, you know, and I've heard the CNN reports and they're saying, well, it was, you know, what did the president know and when? They're already trying to go, full Nixon on him. Here's the thing. Even the New York Times and everything that I've scoured has not pinpointed a date and is not even alleging it. It sounds like it all came about sometime over the weekend, end of last week, over the weekend. And apparently, when finally President Trump got briefed on the matter, because he ended up reading the whole transcript, so he gets to see the actual phone call, right? So what happens is, at that point, Pence is furious. And it's not actually because of the lie, but because, and sources have now confirmed, multiple people are saying, So Flynn did exactly the wrong thing when he met with Pence. Instead of going to Pence and putting his arms, you know, putting his hands flat out and said, look, hey, palms up. I screwed up. I should have been more detailed. I just wanted this thing to go away. He was defiant. He was, he blamed his faulty memory. I mean, he's making excuses. I mean, what do you do? And then when you take actually the fact that Flynn had done this before, remember when Sean Spicer got up there and says, well, there's other things that we're concerned about. What he's talking about is that whole kerfuffle with Flynn's son, you know, the crazy one who has all the theories, the crazy conspiracy theories. Well, the media got on the transition team and said, hey, does this clown have security clearance? And so the team went to their security advisor, who was Flynn, right, the dad, and said, hey, does so-and-so have security clearance? You should know. You're the security advisor and also, by the way, the kid's father. And Flynn said no, when in fact he had given him clearance. So what would you do in Trump's position? See, I think this is where a lot of the pundits, even the pundits on the right, honestly, are getting this all wrong. This is a decisive, good move. You cannot have somebody in your organization that lies to you and that does not take responsibility for their actions. Those are literally, I tell you, as an employer, as a leader myself, those are two things that I cannot tolerate, especially together. And so it's interesting enough that it's being portrayed as, well, look, Flynn got shanghaied. He's a good man. He got shanghaied. And, now Trump has to do the politically expedient thing and get rid of him. There's a very interesting piece, part of the article that was by Michael Schmidt in the New York Times from yesterday. And two days ago. Maggie Haberman, the other author on this, but still New York Times. And it actually posits that it was so ambiguous, Trump could have gone either way. It says the transcript of the phone call was ambiguous enough that Mr. Trump could have justified either firing or retaining Mr. Flynn. If Trump wanted to do the politically expedient thing, he would have kept him, because it is embarrassing as hell to start losing your staff 3 weeks into your presidency. There's no getting away around that. It's embarrassing. Look at what the press is doing with it. Oh, wheels are coming off the Trump train, Oh, this is it. You're going to say, there's who's next, And there's like a death pool, of who's going to get canned next, or who's going to leave next from the Trump White House. But if Trump is going to be successful, and God, I hope he will be, he has to maintain discipline and order in his ranks. There's only one way I know how to do that, and that is you set a standard and you hold everyone to that standard. And it doesn't matter if that person was the first person that came on board to your campaign. It doesn't matter what debt you owe that person. It doesn't matter how close their ideology is to yours. They screw up. They're gone. This is an unusual level of accountability from Washington and from a White House. That's how I read this. I read this as probably one of the better moves, and really no other option. Now, I'm going to talk, I want to get into the leaks itself and what that means. Some interesting thoughts on it. And then also, you'll be surprised to know that, you know, dealing with foreign governments behind a president's back is not new. The Democrats have done it. Even Ted Kennedy, this story just beggars belief when you get into the details of what Ted Kennedy did to Reagan. And where was the liberal outrage then? Nowhere. So when I come back, I'm going to get into that and a little more on this Flynn thing. There's just a couple more things here that are really important. So back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. All right, back again. Sam Rogowski here. So what we've got going on here with this Flynn thing, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, so we're talking about Michael Flynn, Lieutenant General, who just got the sack from Trump as his national security advisor. Very important role within the White House, somebody that coordinates basically security efforts, security and intelligence gathering operations. And so that's overseeing multiple departments, one of which was the department that Flynn had directed previously, which was the DIA. Same as the CIA, but for the Army, for the Department of Defense, excuse me. So Flynn's out. And I was just telling you what I think of it, which is I think this was actually exactly the right move and the only move for Trump to make. And I particularly admire it because, and I explained to you why. I mean, first, the decision had to be made because Flynn lied. And he'd done it before, and there's no room for that in an organization. And I also was trying to explain. I admire it too because Flynn came on very early in the Trump campaign, and gave an endorsement to Trump at a very critical time. And again, this is just my intuition, but I sense that, you know, that there might have been a little bit of, there might have been an entitlement feeling on Flynn's part for having joined the campaign so early. Let me explain. Imagine this. You are a conservative. You are a nationally recognized conservative. You are maybe like Flynn, considered a bit of a hero to conservative causes because what? You stood up to Obama, right? That's what happened. He said, we've got an ISIS problem. And Obama says, no, we don't. And then he gets fired. So he became kind of a darling of conservatives everywhere. So you've got some political clout. You're out of a job. Where do you put that political clout? You put it early behind Trump. And all these other people, like Rance Priebus, what did Priebus do? What did the Republicans do for Trump early in the campaign? Yeah, bupkis. Right. So what did where was Bannon early on in the campaign? Where were all these people? Where was Kellyanne Conway? Where were all these inner circle people early in the campaign? Nowhere. So Flynn comes in and he feels perhaps a little bit like, hey, I was one of the first guys here. And screw you. You know, I mean, Pence was a Republican Party guy and not really saying much about the election. And I was getting up and warming up rallies for you, Mr. President. And maybe a little bit of an entitled feeling came into his interactions dealing with Pence, Vice President, dealing with Bannon, dealing with Rance Priebus, and perhaps gave him a sense that he could cut some corners. And I've had this experience in the past. You know, many of you know I have a day job, and I've for years now have managed people, and we have something around 65, almost 70 employees now, so a little bit larger than a small business, and And I'll tell you, the most challenging thing is taking somebody who you have known a long time, or to whom you have a debt of some sort, and letting them go. Because the organization itself comes first, comes before and ahead of any other considerations. The difference between somebody who runs a good business and a bad business is that the guy who knows what he's doing, or gal, don't get me wrong, or gal, they will fire their own sibling if they're not doing the job well. And the guy that doesn't know what he's doing, he's the guy who's got his friend and his brother-in-law and his mother and everybody working in the business. You know what I'm talking about? And he doesn't want to touch anyone. He doesn't want to can a single person because they want to hurt their feelings. And that right there, that is a business that is headed nowhere fast in no good way. And I'm telling you, that's what's going on. All right, we gotta make some time for the news. Good thing is we've got John Wolf to bring it to us. Take it away, John.
Operators are standing by.
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead, say it.
790-KABC.
And welcome back, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790-KABC, reporting deep behind the Orange Curtain. That's right. Here in Orange County today. Really enjoyed being in the L.A. studio with everybody last night. That was fun. And enjoyed our Love Nation program. If you missed it and you want to hear me give really terrible love advice, please go to samnation.com, get the podcast. And it was definitely cringeworthy, I'll give you that. So it's there. It's preserved for all of posterity. Now, tell you what, I had this thought creep into my mind as I'm digesting all of this news about Flynn and about these leaks that came from within the intelligence agencies. I told you in the first segment, in the opening monologue, I was talking about how we know basically that there was an investigation opened by the Obama administration into alleged Russian interference in the U.S. election. As part of that investigation, the FBI needed help from the NSA, and the NSA went on to tap certain phone lines and were the ones that ultimately discovered the conversation that that Flynn had had that ultimately led to his dismissal. Now, all this to say, this type of intelligence gathering, be it in matters of national intelligence, okay, or as part of a criminal investigation, there's a tremendous breach that occurred here, okay? And so what's worrisome about that is that, well, you know, we went through what it was that Flynn actually said in the phone call. And it wasn't, even according to the New York Times, it was largely innocuous. There's no quid pro quo. There's nothing illegal was said in the phone call. But it's interesting that the people that leaked the call are far more criminally culpable in this mess than Flynn himself. And yet the guy that does theoretically, at least nothing wrong except lie to his boss, is the one that's out of a job. And these people who are somewhere in these agencies, and we don't know who they are yet, but I'm pretty sure Trump wants to find them. They're gonna put a team on this, and I don't know, maybe they'll be successful. But these are people who broke definitively broke the law because the contents of this information and of this call was classified. And moreover, was captured as part of a secret, intelligence gathering operation. So I'm listening to this, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, that is a tremendous amount of power that a lot of guys in the CIA have, and at the NSA, and at the DIA. I mean, they can, at the flip of a switch, take out the NSA director. And how do they take him out? They catch him in a lie. Because they know everything about anyone that they want. And so it jogged my memory. And I was going back to the whole Russia, you know, hack the election nonsense. And all the senators and all the politicians everywhere. But especially some of the grandees of the Republican Party, right? You had John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And they're getting up there. Oh, you know, it's just, who's Trump to criticize the CIA and criticize? These are fine intelligence gathering professionals. They're above, beyond reproach. Remember that? And so now, in light of getting a taste, right? Getting a taste of what these people are doing, because everybody in politics knows they're political. I mean, these are people who live in Washington, D.C., who went to Ivy League schools. They're political. So you got to wonder, are some of these politicians going, I don't want these people to sink me. I mean, I don't want to criticize them and end up, you know, getting on somebody's, you know what, list. They could take me out. Could be. Think about it. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski here. I've got to tell you about what happened at a home that was getting burglarized in Idaho. Well, so this man, the man left his home secured, he thought, not just by the lock on his front door, but also with a pet squirrel. That's right. He left his pet squirrel at home, and the home got broken into. Now, what I guess the man didn't realize is that the pet squirrel was going to try to fight off the burglars. The man comes home, right? His home has signs of break-in. Calls the police. The police come. They go. They track down. They find the burglar just a short ways away. And the guy's got claw marks all over him. Well, it turns out the squirrel went full Rambo on him. And here's what he says to the police officer, right? He says, yeah, so did you get those, did you get those scratches from the squirrel? And the guy goes, yeah, the damn thing kept attacking me. It wouldn't stop until I left. Well, let me tell you, if you're a burglar, I don't think Sweet James can help you. But if you are an innocent victim of a vicious squirrel attack, then Sweet James is your man. Look, you never know how an accident's going to happen. Could be a squirrel, could be a car, could be a train, could even be, you know, just whatever. You get hurt, don't go through the whole rigmarole of insurance companies. You know, don't try to go sue the squirrel. It's not, you get a lawyer. Get a good lawyer. Get the lawyer we trust here on the program. And our lawyer happens to be Sweet James, Attorney James Bergner. How do you call him? How do you reach him? It's easy. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation here. We've got a little bit of some 80s trivia for you. And I alluded to this already earlier in the hour. I said that there was a politician. I gave you his name already, but in case you weren't paying attention, now I'm gonna repeat it. There was a politician in the 80s, well-known guy, a friend, a lion of the left, a senator, no less. Ted Kennedy. That's right. And Ted Kennedy, this is funny in light of how the left is freaking out over this Flynn phone call with the Russians. Ted Kennedy made secret overtures to Russia to prevent Ronald Reagan's re-election. So, in spite of the fact of having drowned, basically murdered a woman, Ted Kennedy's career continued to flourish, so much so that he was considering, can you imagine this, the balls of this guy? He was considering running for president again, even after he challenged Carter. You know, this Carter was a sitting president. He was running for re-election, right? Ultimately against Reagan. And back then, right, Ted Kennedy challenged Carter in the election, lost. Okay, so then he wanted to go back. Ted Kennedy's big pipe dream was, I'm going to stop the maniac Reagan. Because, you know, Reagan was a maniac. You know, he's going to start World War III. He was unpredictable. He was unstable. He was crazy. He was rude. Told somebody to shut up. I mean, that was the big thing back then. So if any of this sounds familiar, by the way, just wink. Wink at me, okay? All right. This is documented. Some details on this. He sent his law school roommate, who also was a sitting U.S. senator. So two U.S. senators were in on this total subversion of U.S. foreign policy. They sent a secret letter to the Soviet Union, to the president of the Soviet Union. They had a plan. They were going to have the president of the USSR and a number of top officials do TV interviews with liberal interviewers. They even mentioned Walter Cronkite and none other than Barbara Walters. They were that specific. Now, the letters, all the documents are now in the Cold War Museum in Washington, D.C. It's all a matter of public record. But I've been listening to the insufferable left blab and blab and blab about how unprecedented this is, that Trump, you know, may or may not have had, one of his people may or may not have had some sort of vague phone call with a Russian ambassador. Give me a break, you bunch of bozos. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Just got an email here from David Lozano. Excellent explanation regarding Flynn. How do we get America, if not the world, to listen to an excellent explanation like this? Thank you, David, for the kind words. I only give to you guys what I expect for me. You know, I when I see something happening, I always want to know the what, the where, the why, the how. I want to get to the bottom of it, and I always want to understand things in a greater context and not just in the present hysteria of the moment. And it was funny because today I was watching Fox News. I have a big TV in my office that is pretty much always on, and if it's the volume isn't on, I've got it on mute with some subtitles running. At any rate, so I'm watching all day, and nobody explained it. Everybody sort of treated this whole Flynn thing as a foregone, you know, deal, and then just was sounding off on their opinions, but didn't really get into the meat of it, which I think is interesting because you can't really get into your opinion until you understand what the facts are. So I appreciate your kind words, and thank you for emailing. Interesting news flash just came through right now. You know, Trump is planning another rally, and this might be one of his first rallies since he became president. It's going to be in, let's see here, it's going to be in Orlando, in Florida. This is excellent, because I'm going to sum up this whole talk of what is going on right now with Flynn and what's going on with, you know, other people and all the hand-wringing. Okay. Trump does not have to persuade the media who didn't vote for him, the snowflakes who didn't vote for him, the college professors who didn't vote for him, he does not have to persuade those groups to love him. In fact, he probably won't. He does not have to pander to the histrionics of the left. Doesn't have to jump through their hoops. The only thing Trump needs to do is stay cool and fulfill his campaign promises. And I saw a great, I saw a political reporter talking on, I think it was Fox News this morning, about how, well, you know, the Republicans have got to start, you know, Trump has got to come together with the Republicans, and he's got to, you know, he's, because the Republicans are, there's elections coming up and da-da-da-da-da. And I thought to myself, you don't know what the, you don't know the first thing you're talking about. The Republicans have got to get on the Trump train, not the other way around, because the Republicans are going to get voted out. They're going to get voted out in the primaries. And what Trump is doing, this rally here, this is calculated. He's going back to the people that elected him, and he's reiterating and reaffirming that he is committed to the agenda that got him elected in the first place. And he's also, this is the first salvo in putting the feet of senators and congressmen who are not helping him to the fire. So I think this is a brilliant move. He's going to do more of these, and he is going to turn the heat on the do-nothing Republicans in Congress like no one ever has. If I were Mitch McConnell, I'd be sweating bullets right now. How many times do you think Mitch McConnell's name is going to come up at this rally? Want to bet? Email me, okay? I'll be back on Friday, off tomorrow night. See you then. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Keep on the kiss, but that's a pay for. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.